Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak and Beers.
Brother, this is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host, Brad.
Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Can you hear with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast?
Hey guys, welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Hey, boom. Hey, how's that for a new intro there, starting off this show? If you don't know about all of the shows we have on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network, you can see them all right there. And look all them fellas up, and ladies too. Good stuff. But hey, welcome back, another edition of Chasing the Tide. I'm your host, Dustin Nichols, and you're on your saltwater connection on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We got a good show lined up tonight, so we'll go ahead and bring old boy in. We got Zach Steele joining us tonight. He's down in Florida. He's smooth down there from the Houston area, so we're gonna bring him in and see what's going on. What's going on tonight, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thank you for having me.
It's going. You know, you spend time on social media and being in that niche of kayak fishing, you start to see. You know, you recognize people here and there. You start seeing people post. You start seeing similar stuff shared to you through the algorithms and everything. And you're one that would pop up a lot on me. I finally started following you. I was like, hell yeah. Only dinks with a zero.
Hey, thank you, man. Yeah, that's right.
For sure. Yeah, and I see you, you'd fish in some familiar territory and stuff. And I was like, man, I got to catch up with this dude and see what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good to have you on the show, brother.
Yeah,
I know we were talking beforehand. You just moved back down to Fort Myers, Florida. So if you don't mind sharing with everybody, you know, introduce yourself, give them a little backstory about, you know, growing up a little bit, starting fishing, and what led you into that plastic boat and then chasing all these fish.
Yeah, man. So grew up in Southwest Florida down in Fort Myers, started fishing pretty much like everybody does, pond hopping, bank fishing down at the beach, you know, shore fishing, that kind of stuff, throwing some live bait out there. And then, you know, as I got older, not myself, I wasn't fortunate enough to have a boat growing up, but a lot of my friends did. So, you know, I'd ride their coattails, tag along with them, and slowly started getting into saltwater fishing in my teenage years. Just fell in love with redfish down here and snook. You know, that's mainly what we'd go after. And then kind of took a break from fishing really through college. I was up in Tallahassee, which was about an hour and a half from the coast. Wasn't impossible to go fish, but was improbable with everything I had going on. And then, you know, moved to Texas 10 years ago and started getting back into it a little bit. I bought a kayak a year ago. I've only been kayak fishing for about a year. Everything else before that was bank fishing, shore fishing, and you know, I love it. I'll never go back to anything else.
Oh, I know, right? It just that kayak opened up so many different opportunities and areas you can access, and that was the thing that drew me into it. You know, same for with sure. just opening up more water to me. Besides walking in somewhere, wade fishing somewhere, you got to walk into or bank or pier or everything with the crowds. Right. Get away from the crowds, you know. Yeah. Always a big plus, especially if you don't have a boat.
Right. It's the logical next step from shore fishing.
For sure. And then there's like, they make everything imaginable now to put on that dang kayak. It's like crazy.
Oh, too much stuff, man. I got power pole on there. Yeah. I mean, you can keep throwing money on that till you're blue in the face.
Exactly. So you came over here, spent time in Houston and everything, and then now you're back in Southwest Florida. Correct. You know, transition back to that area. And you're just going to spend your time there. Are you there for good right now, or will you kind of differentiate between Texas and here? Or
I mean, I will try to get back to Texas as much as I possibly can. For right now, or for the foreseeable future, I'm here. I came down to help with the family business, and you know, try to get my dad to slow down a little bit before he works himself into an early grave.
Oh, there you go.
You know, he's getting older and we got a lot of stuff going on. So I thought I could help out being down here. But yeah, the transition is, it's tough to say the least. It's a different world down here.
Different fishery, big time, you know, totally different 100%. Down that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have more channels and different kinds of things there. I mean, you do have some mangroves and stuff but not the flats that we have, or the flats they have further up towards Sarasota and up in south of Tallahassee, St. Mark's and all that down there is really cool.
Yeah, up on the nature coast,
Panacea and all that's all pretty cool. Yeah,
yep.
That stuff's pretty neat up there. It's definitely different down there where you're at.
For sure. That's been the biggest thing. It's just the depth changes, right? I mean, I could go out in Texas and I could, you know, from here to as far as I could possibly see is just flats. I could weigh that and I knew what I was getting into. I knew the flats and I know where the fish are going to be. Down here, you know, from what I've heard from the guys is during the summer, the redfish run a little deeper. I'm not used to deep water. So it's, going to be
how
a little.
What are they talking about? To. How deep?
Yeah, I don't know, honestly, man. Yeah. I've been catching them in about 6 feet.
Yeah. Crankbait.
But I also crankbait.
Square bills and a chatterbait with a big paddle tail on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, in the rivers in Alabama, absolutely crush them on that.
Really?
Yeah. The sandbars, six foot, five to seven foot.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So
five series square bill and like a bone color.
Oh, man. I'm getting all sorts of lure tips from you.
Yeah. Dude, like some of the biggest redfish I ever caught in a certain said river in Gulf Shores, Alabama, that I will not name. There's a lot of resident bulls over 40 inches in there. And I crushed some one day. I was in a tournament fishing, trying to fish for slots, you know, and I was catching bull redfish on a one knocker scoop over like a stump field. Yeah, it was like stupid the amount of fish. I have my board only went to 32 inches. So it was like, how big is this thing? I didn't even lay it down. It was like 2 foot. It was big. It was pushing 50. I guarantee it. I had one on a little 1.5 series square bill that just, it was fun. Super fun. It was choked. It is down. His crushers had to do surgery on that one. And that's we've had a lot of bulls in my area around here, Lavaca Bay and stuff lately. They've been crushing the wake baits. You know, they just been coming up and just inhaling those little hunchbacks, man. Big
time. You know who was telling me about the bull reds up there was Trail Chaser.
Oh, yeah, David. Okay. David's a great dude. Me and Dave fish together quite a bit here and there.
Oh, he's great, man. Yeah, I've gone out with him down there in POC a few times, and great dude. Salt of the Earth, really awesome.
Guest a couple shows ago before I had Chris Castro on again. Yeah.
Yep.
We're a pretty tight-knit community here in the Texas kayak scene. Mm-hmm. We all pretty much know everybody or know what everybody's doing or by word of mouth, know what's going on. Especially, I mean, I know David's more, he's a bigger YouTuber. He does got a little John Skiff and fly fishes, but you know, we've got quite the little tournament scene down here too.
100%.
You know, got some really cool stuff. I'm actually wrapping up working on, one myself that we're going to put on through Three Bells Outfitters and okay. Powell and Finn will have somebody, some of the guys from PNF help us judge, but it's a 2-day event. The first day is three redfish. The slot will be 18 to 32 inches, and it's going to be 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. I think lines out is at 3.
CPR.
It's going to be a CPR event that will be online. Yeah. And then the next day we'll have the captain's meeting at the boat launch on North Shore Park on Lake Bastrop, and will be your best 5 bass, and your aggregate total of the 5 bass and the 3 redfish will determine the winners. So it's a redfish, greenfish, smackdown. Cool. You're going to have to catch redfish the first day and bass the next day.
That's cool.
I want to change it up a little bit because I do fish for both. You know, I'm not always fishing for bass. I'm more saltwater than anything.
Yeah. But, that'll keep you on your toes though, man.
Man, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Got some good companies involved with some prizes. Waterloo's going to hook some stuff up. Give me a couple rods. We'll have some stuff. I think I got a couple reels from Daiwa, some lures from Grande, or skinny water lures. And then Three Bell's going to send some stuff. So we'll have quite a smorgasbord of giveaways along with the entry fee will be $55 for the main pot. Then we'll have a side pot for big bass for $10 and a side pot for the most spots on a redfish, which will be the left side with the fish facing towards the left with the belly towards you on your measuring board. So it'll be the most spots on that side. Yeah. Just that side. Cool. It just makes it easier. Make it all one way. And that way nobody's flipping around and nobody's fussing about anything. So, I think that's how they did it in the Babes on the Bay when they did it CPR.
They did. Yes, they did.
I want to say they had it one side only on the spots. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but man, enough of that. I just had to plug that real quick. Once we got dropping, kind of fell that way, you know. I'll talk to paint off the wall. Everybody that listens to this knows that.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time: the roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So, Tom in Florida, you know, fishery-wise and everything, it's definitely some difference there.
For sure.
You say the redfish are definitely deeper. What's the trout fishery like down there right now? I know some stuff was struggling on Florida West on the Gulf Coast.
I'll be honest, I'm probably not the right person to ask about that. I am a big redfish guy. I target redfish all day. That's pretty much all I do. Now, that being said, I have caught a couple trout out there, but I'm not seeing a whole lot and haven't really heard too much either, honestly. I'm more in tune with what's going on in Texas right now. I've only been down in Florida for 3 weeks.
Yeah, because you just been down there for 3 weeks again. Yeah. Right. Just trying to get wet behind the ears a little bit right now.
Sure.
Yep. So yeah, that's what I was wanting to kind of get in and talk about some trout stories. But you know, there's times you are targeting redfish, and then all of a sudden, man, you just catch a hammer. There's been a couple of times when I've been chasing redfish all day in like a back marsh, in like a bayou, where you never would have thought, and then catch like a 25, 26 inch trout back there.
Man, it's crazy. Yeah, I've been in some back lakes around Galveston, caught 28 inch trout in there. Man, it's nuts.
Do the same thing. Yeah, it's just weird how sometimes those fish, just the way they set up, you know, can lead them to different areas, you know, following the bait, following that tide in, and you know, it's just different. They do have different tendencies than the redfish, but sometimes you'll be chasing a school of reds and you'll say, man, that's not a red back there. It'd be like a 20, you know, like you said, 26, 27 inch trout back there and rip it out, dude.
It's like,
7-pound trout out of the redfish school. You know, that's really cool if you can do that, you know.
Same place, but different.
Yeah, definitely. They have different tendencies for sure. But this year, I don't know, before you left, I've noticed a lot more, more number of bull redfish this year than last year at this time. Yeah, I'm seeing many more over 30 inches than I did this time last year.
Man, I don't know what was going on this summer, but I kept running into schools of 32, 33 inch fish, just big fish, man. Back lakes where I would never see them before.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, the number of slot size fish I saw definitely went down.
Yeah.
I think there's in the future going to have to be a conversation about what's happening with our redfish.
Yeah, because they took the brunt of everything after the freeze.
100%, right? I mean, everybody.
When people weren't catching trout.
Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Turn on the reds. You know, Ed, I went down to Mansfield and fished with Wayne Davis and Ernest Cisneros. Those two guys, man. I mean, awesome guys. They do that empty stringers catch and release deal.
You get,
you know, a discount on your guide and everything. It's pretty cool. And those guys are really.
Well, you booked a trip down there and went with the Kelly Woodrow guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I tagged along with some more well off friends of mine.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, I just think it's a really cool thing what they're doing down there, man. And you don't see a whole lot of that. You know, you see the stringer pictures and the, you know, the boat haul pics, and hurts my heart a little bit to see.
Oh, yeah.
That.
I will keep some fish every now and then, you know, for the family when they want fresh fish, but I'm going to cook it that evening. I'm going to clean it that day, cook it, harvest it. We're going to eat it that night.
Yeah. And that's not keeping fish. I mean, perfectly fine, right? No, I mean,
that's perfectly legal. Fine. Yeah. Everybody has a right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But yes, there does need to be a conversation.
For sure.
For sure.
At some point.
Just like with the trout, the redfish. I mean, I am catching lots of redfish, but still, it's not going to be like that way forever.
Right.
Yep. It's not going to be that way forever. There's just too many people on the water, mm-hmm. too much pressure.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at, I wrote an article for Fish Monkey. Man, I think it got published 2 months ago or something. But it kind of went into what was happening with the trout and redfish around Texas.
Yeah.
And if you looked at the numbers of fishing licenses that were sold before COVID and then after COVID, I mean, it went up 30-40%.
Oh yeah.
Sky high. It's hard to sustain that without changing some regulations. And then we get the freeze on top of that. And then we lose, you know,
lose quite a bit of the biomass of
fish. Yeah.
Specks and other fish too. You know, reds are a little bit more hardy, but I mean, but
for sure.
But then again, you look south of JFK and Corpus right now, and it's almost like you got an influx of trout from the Gulf, like some of the bigger surf runners and stuff. So they say there's been even down there, you know, drifting flats looking for redfish around some stuff down that way, King Ranch shoreline, this and that. I've caught some solid trout this year down there.
Have you?
And not just few, like pretty good numbers.
Yeah, I was before I left, I was catching more trout than usual, which is good, man. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's proof in point that regulations work.
But the redfish took a freaking hit, dude. I'm telling you. That's the only thing I saw for a while. Matagorda, everywhere. Matagorda, you know.
100%, yeah.
Sergeant.
The title of that article was Redfish Rule the Cleaning Table.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is, you know, it's all you saw for a long time there. Yeah.
And I mean, even though I'm friends with some people and they're in the kayak community and everything too, but it seems like every time I'm seeing pictures, they got this stringer loaded up with redfish. I'm like, man, you need to let some of them things go sometimes, man. I want to say it, but it's just I kind of hold it back. I kind of, you know, somebody, you know, I don't want to be like argumentative about it, but then again, you got to look at the conversation side of things. You got to look at that.
Yeah.
10 years from now, 20 years from now. I mean, I know we have TPWD, you know, they do their thing with the hatcheries and everything else too, but you know, is it going to hold up? I mean, is it, will it? We don't know.
Hard to tell. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I don't think people are out there really trying to be malicious about it. I think it's, you know, it's a
lack not of everybody. There is there's some of them out there though. There's
for sure.
No doubt.
But you know, if you took me elk hunting, I'm sure I'd make all kind of mistakes that I'm not supposed to make.
Yeah.
You know, I'm elk hunter. And same thing with people that are going out with guides and fishing for the second and third time in their life. You know, they just don't.
Right. They need to learn.
It's about education.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. So Only Dinks, you know, how'd you come up with that name on social media just to kind of.
Man, you know, I never really thought I'd have to explain it to anybody.
Set yourself apart. I mean, that's kind of catchy too. You know, it is catchy.
I think it was. So when I started that last like February or something. Yeah. I think it was right around the time OnlyFans was taking off.
Yeah.
And, and OnlyFins was taken. So
yeah, OnlyFans, OnlyFish. On yeah. OnlyFins.
So, and then, you know.
Yeah, and it was taken, so yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. The original OnlyDinks was taken too. But, I mean, you look at social media, and I think there's a lot of people trying to take themselves too seriously as fishermen. And I wanted a name that I could live up to.
There you go. Oh, all fish are welcome.
Yeah, that's right.
On and my end of my line. Like, that's, we got no problem with that. Like, we'll.
That's right. I don't care how small we're
equal, equal opportunity fishermen here to land right. Whatever it gets on my hook. No doubt, man. Oh, dude. Yeah. Yeah. This weather we're having lately here, you know, we're,
been y'all getting a bunch of rain?
Drought conditions. No, it's more up towards Houston and stuff. We didn't get a lot over here.
Oh, that's right. You're
it's cool there because there's a bunch of, you know, rivers and stuff around here that are pretty dang green right now. And there's some fish in them.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people think a lot of the rivers are just winter fisheries, but I beg to differ on that one. No. There's fish everywhere right now. I mean, there is. But think about it. You know, summertime, hot. You know, you're gonna look for a little getaway every now and then, a little cooler water. You know,
100%. I mean, look at what do people do in Texas when it gets hot? They go tube the rivers.
They go tube in the rivers. Well, right now there's not a whole lot of water in some of
them. Yeah, true.
But yeah, I mean, right now in the back in the marsh, there's just. See, I run a motor. I run a on my smaller Q-Pick. I run a Torquedo 403 AC.
You like that thing?
Oh yeah. It runs. I got it to sit. It'll run in less than a foot of water. Gone. Yeah.
It's cool. Yep.
But it'd be running, and then man, it's just like rain. It's like the big raindrops, but it's shrimp jumping.
Yeah.
There's so many like 2 to 3 inch shrimp right now. It's insane, and it seems like it's. They're a little bigger earlier right now.
Yeah, man. I wish I was over there to tell you what I was seeing. But
yeah, you've been over there in Florida. What
August? Yeah, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, coming to September. There's a lot of shrimp back there because for a while there was still those little pogies,
little dad.
Mm-hmm. You know, them little 1-inch things where they're just getting rained everywhere and everything's hitting them. And you're like, man, I'm throwing everything over there.
Impossible to imitate that.
Oh, dude, a little blade bait.
From
the bass side.
I'd usually just bite a little paddle tail.
Bite a little paddle tail off or throw those little.
An opening night or something.
Yeah, the head and boyo is a little smaller topwaters too. Yeah, on the calm days. I've done really good with those on the calm days and along the grass.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little more of a finesse top water
there. Yeah, for sure. That's my thing, man. I love their top waters.
One awesome. Knocker all day
Super
long.
Spook Junior, every time I go out, that's all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't beat those. Get a little more high pitched sound with that Spook Junior, and then the one knocker, you got that just one big ball bearing in there. Just knock. Yeah, I've caught a lot of big trout up in deeper water with that right there. You know, five, 6 foot deep. And then flounder. I've seen a lot of flounder this year.
Man, I did too before I left.
Yeah.
A lot of flounder breaching too.
Jumping and chasing stuff. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And pitch back in there and usually can
get it. It's cool to see a flounder do that.
Yeah. I've had them come up and eat a topwater or come up and eat wake baits.
Really?
Plenty of times. Yeah.
Really? Man. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, but like what it goes back to what I was talking about before was that just a lot of bull redfish right now. I've seen major schools of bull redfish all in the back lakes and the main bay systems, everything right now. It's just like, whoa. They're getting ready to do their thing. They're like setting up already, you know.
They're staging up.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely been some fun days out there chasing them things, especially down in Corpus area, Laguna. Been a couple of big schools down there you can luck into, and it's just pretty fun. You know, you catch one or two, you're like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to go catch me some, try to find some flounder in some of these little deep pockets and stuff. But, yeah, it's some good stuff around, man. So I know you're you know, you're back down there in Florida. You're just now transitioning back to that area, you know. Yep. So what are you doing down there now? What you said you went down there to help your family out. And,
yeah, we've got a lighting company down here. And lighting? They needed a little help. Yeah, yeah. Outdoor lighting.
Outdoor lighting. Cool deal. So, yeah.
It's pretty good, man. But, yeah, it's I miss Texas. I think about it every day.
Oh, yeah.
I miss the fishing. I miss the people over there.
Yeah.
You know, in a perfect world, I'd still be there. But it's okay. Florida's good, too. There's good fishing down here. I got family close here, too.
Help out family first, man.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Definitely. You know, definitely. So, you know, we were talking earlier about this craze with the – is really starting to come out with all these baits that are transitioning over from the bass side, you know, mm-hmm. And I know I've used, you know, twitch baits and stuff here and there before and jerk baits and then the glide baits and really big soft plastics that are made for like, catching the big lingcod in California out of the kelp beds. They're like eight inch with like with a big 10 off like owner beast hook. And I'll mm-hmm. throw them for trout too. You just big bait, big fish, you know.
That's right.
Hey, it does work, but we were talking about that. There's been a push with that lately. I know Chris Bush from Speckled Truth has been sharing some tips and techniques with the jerk baits and the tuning of all of those and mm-hmm. different rip and slash baits. And then he just had Mike Herman from Donkey Bay Swim Baits out of Louisiana. Mike's hand makes the molds for these awesome glide baits that if you're not familiar, you need to go check it out. Donkey Bay Swim Baits, you know, on Instagram and Facebook, because that's another bait that a lot of these fish haven't seen.
That's right. Yeah.
And, it's pretty cool. I mean, there's some of them that are, you know, 3, 4, 5 ounces that you have to have different rods. So don't think you can go take your HP light and go throw them on, because it doesn't work. And don't think you can take your big pitching flipping stick, like super extra heavy rod, and go sling them either, because you still got to have, especially for big trout, you still got to have that give for mm-hmm. them fish to surge and have them big head shakes. You got to be able to absorb that impact.
100%.
You know, either throwing it on, you know, just 20-pound fluorocarbon only, so you have a little bit of stretch and all that too. Mm-hmm. And you need a little, you know, you need backbone, but you to throw that bait, but you still need, you know, that power and that action and that rod to be able to absorb, you know, them head shakes of those big fish over, you know, 24, 25 inch trout. Once they get mm-hmm. that big, they're a different animal. They're a different breed, different entity altogether. So, yeah, man.
I'll tell you what I've been using down in Port O'Connor in the dead of summer when that grass is real bad. Mm-hmm. Topwater frogs, weedless frog, man. Uh-huh. They will annihilate one of those things.
That's what I was going to say with these higher tides we have in the tall grass. A bone colored popping frog or a white little frog or a zoom speed toad.
Yeah, Spro makes a really good one.
Spro makes one. I was just throwing mm-hmm. those down in Florida. The little Spro, it's the hollow body, but it has the little kicktails on the back, dude.
Yeah. Yep. With the dual hooks coming outside.
Yep. With the dual, well, they crush them things.
That's all I throw.
Yep. I got a bone one that's got like pink on the throat that Strike King makes. And then they also make a brown one with orange. They love that one too. It looks like kind of like a
little darker
mud minnow type thing and a crab or whatever. And then those weedless, I know the company I'm associated with makes it's almost like a fluke, but it's got an air tail that you put a rattle in the tail. So it's got a hollow tail on it. Grande bass. Yeah. It was a grande salt, but we're going to be called Skinny Water Lure Co.
Now, so they put a little knocker in there.
You can put a little glass rattle in the tail. That's of cool. that one. And that one on a weedless little 4-aught hook works real good in the grass, too. You can kind of bring it through. Yeah. It's kind of like a fluke, but with a hollow tail that you can put a little rattle in it or put sin inside. You can do a lot of things with that bait. It's pretty cool.
They just leave it hollow and you can put whatever
it's
you want.
You can put put scent in there with a little
garlic
injection little deal, or you can put a little thin 4-millimeter glass rattle in there. It'll fit right in there too.
Interesting.
Pretty neat stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's cool.
They started on the bass side, but then kind of transitioned to salt water, kind of helped out Jerry with them. And
funny how that works.
And some good stuff coming down the pipe there. We'll be
See more and more of that bass stuff coming over.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. Crawfish, too.
I mean, why
speed crawl, a white speed crawl. Yeah, weedless. Mm.
Just looks like a little crab.
Sharing all kinds of secrets. Yeah. Chatterbaits too. Even right. in the, on the flats, right? The chatterbaits on the flats are tough to beat in that grass. It'll pull just because I fish heavy grass with them for bass. So why wouldn't it work in the grass on the saltwater? You know, and it does. Baits.
Yeah, I mean, chatterbaits are magic, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the redfish magic, great bait. Actually, those on, I actually throw those for bass. the ice strike ones because they're
right. Yeah.
You know, I just put a paddle tail on them and throw them for bass sometimes without having a skirt on it. You know. Because ice strike chatterbaits they make don't have a skirt, and I like those with either a fluke style bait or a big, you know, paddle tail on it. You know, they got a lot of vibration, they hunt, they kind of dart and stuff in the water. You know, there's a lot of good stuff with them, you know, a lot of good stuff.
How did Okeechobee go, man? What were you down there for? Tournament?
I was down there for a kayak fishing league, a team tournament. We went down there to go face a team from Florida, the Florida Copperheads.
Okay.
And I'm on a team out of Alabama that I was just kind of like an alternate to help with Okeechobee because quite a few of their guys couldn't make it. They had different, you know, commitments to different tournaments and things like that. So the guy who's managing the team was like, Dustin, you'll come fish Okeechobee with us. You want to get on the Coosa Kingfishers? I was like, sure. I said, because I reached out to some other teams. Hey, I'll be alternate or whatever, you know, because of my schedule. I can't really make everything all the time. And then I got other tournaments I wanted to fish. So, unfortunately, going to Okeechobee kept me from fishing the PRL, Professional Redfish League Championship, that was the same day.
Oh, really?
And I had I've been on some studs too. I've been on some big fish. And then actually that tournament ended up being pretty tough. I mean, it was only 0.3 pounds separated first through third place.
Really?
Like 1.91, 11.91, 11.69, and 11.61. That was the spread for the top three finishers. Ooh, that's a pretty good payday at that one too.
That'll clinch you up a little bit right there.
Yeah, but we did good. Okeechobee was tough. It's just some of the spots I remembered from back in the day. It was, the lake was low, so there wasn't a whole lot of water there. We kind of had to regroup, readjust, and work as a team to find the fish. And then we all went and waylaid them in from one area. and it played. It panned out. We won. Yeah. It's the best 10 fish. We were 177.25 to 162.75, something like that. We beat them by 14 inches. We had a little bigger average. We had a couple bigger fish in our stringer, which was the aggregate of 10 fish, and it ended up good. You know, we go by inches. It's through a tournament management app, Fishing Chaos, and, you know, you take your pictures with your identifier code on your measuring board and everything. And it was a cool experience. You know, we went over there and did what we had to do and took a win on the road. There's teams from all over the Eastern Country. Seaboard down to, you know, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Illinois, that's Tennessee. Awesome. I mean, there's tons of teams. Man, yeah, we're cool. Number one seed going into the playoffs. We still got one more away game on Santee Cooper in a week from Saturday. Facing the Palmetto Punishers, the 16th from South Carolina. Jason Broach is on there. He's been on the show before. He's a hammer on the bass side and the saltwater side. So he's a hammer.
Well, so Santee Cooper, they just did a Hobie tournament out there, right?
Yeah, Hobie had a tournament there. Yeah, it's been a few months back. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I heard it was tough fishing.
Yeah, it was kind of tough. But there's still people over there that wrecked that place. Hobie was just on the Fox and Wolf Rivers in Wisconsin and just straight smash fest on the smallmouth up there. I mean, I still haven't really gotten a opportunity to go to like a well-known smallmouth fishery. I've caught some in Tennessee here and there, you know, small, you know, 16-inch fish. But man, I want to. I was just in Connecticut a couple, you know, 3 weeks back, and I was passing over the Susquehanna River in Harrisburg, and they were having the Hobie tournament that weekend.
Oh, really?
So all my buddies were a lot of my friends were fishing the tournament, and I was going up to Connecticut to chase striper and fluke and bluefish and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I got my heart broke up there. You know, I've talked about on the last episode with Chris. Yeah, I got broke off by so many big striper on top water. It was stupid. I was like, man, I got to go bigger or something, heavier braid.
How much heavier do you go up there with those?
I was throwing 50 and I got just annihilated in the rocks.
Really? Yeah. Man. Yeah. Well, how heavy are you supposed to go?
I don't know, I guess 65 pound fluorocarbon leader.
Good Lord, man. I lived up in Maine for a few years. Did some really nice smallie fishing up there.
Oh, yeah.
Floating the rivers. That's beautiful.
Yeah, Maine's really cool. That definitely be something would interest me in going up there. You know, the Connecticut area is beautiful. We're Niantic. It was, you know, off of the Long Island Sound. There's some really cool ponds up there too around the area that had some great bass fishing. So I fished there in the evenings a couple nights. When the wind came up, I went and fished the little, well, they were about, you know, 80, 100 acres, you know, lake. I mean, they yeah, weren't little. Small ponds. Right. They had some size to them, but man, they were clear. You know, I was throwing some top water and some wacky rig Senkos, catching some good stuff.
Old and, wacky rig.
You know, them things work everywhere. That's how I actually, you know, talking about Okeechobee, the funny thing is, you know, a lot of that places, you know, you power fish in there. I was throwing a, you know, top toad early in the morning and top waters and this and that. But I ended up culling and catching my better fish just dead sticking a Senko like the last hour of the tournament. Last hour just of our window, just yeah. Throw it out there and just barely twitch it and just twitch, just let it sit. Bam!
Yeah, fish are weird, aren't they? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, the heat fishing Okeechobee in August with low water conditions is not an easy feat anyway. So
very true.
We're just excited to go up there and take care of business. That's the main.
Yeah, that's right, man. Just come home with a W. That's all that matters.
Come home with a dub. All that driving, man. This is what I like. I got an outline. I kind of set up stuff to talk about, but then you kind of dive off a different. You know,
I forgot you got a detour.
You got to detour it every now and then. You know, you detour it. You know, I got to take a little detour, and we'll come back to everything else. But we're gonna run this real quick. I like to do a thing called pick three.
All right.
Where I give you a fish, a species.
Okay.
Tell me the three rods and reels you will have with you, rigged up, what's on them. So redfish, that's your favorite thing to mess with. No, I'm not going to throw a loop on you and say, blue runners.
triple tail. Let's see. Three rods, reels, baits, and everything.
Yeah, rod, reel, setup. Complete setup with the bait.
Waterloo HP Light with a Daiwa Stees on it. And that's going to have a jig head and a paddle tail.
Yep.
You
run a fluoro leader, 15 pound or so.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That I put, brilliant. I have 20 pound braid on that and then 15 pound, Seaguar leader on it. Let's see. What else? What do I have over there? Probably another.
Slam mag, right? Or carbon mag?
Probably, yeah. We're going to have to go ultra mag.
Ultra mag, yeah. Top water.
That's my big top water deal right there. Then I've got a little Shimano DC on that with 30 pound braid and 20 pound leader.
Yeah.
And then lastly, probably a Temple Fork light. With another Daiwa on it, and I've got 10 pound braid on that with 15 pound leader.
Yeah, so throwing something like lighter, maybe throwing a bugs jig or something a little
shrimp imitation or something on
imitation.
It. Yeah, I like the lighter setups. Gives me I like the fight. I'm out there for a fight. I'm not out there
to just
fish to the boat. So makes me.
Yeah, I like to have a little 1000 series spinning reel with a little light rod with those little. Crusty crabs, the little small.
Yeah, ones. Man. Dude, now that I'm in Florida, I'm gonna have to get into spinning reels.
Sheep's head on those are fun.
Crusty crabs. What's it?
Yeah,
called?
The little they're little bitty. Chase Baits makes them.
Okay, all right.
They're barely an eighth of an ounce, man.
Oh wow, they're
not even an eighth. They might be just a 16th.
Sheep's head.
I throw them on 10 pound braid with a 12 pound fluorocarbon leader on like a little 1000 series spinning rod with a 7-foot HP light spinning rod.
Yeah. All right.
I guess the sheep head with them off of little rock piles and reefs.
Okay.
Actually, redfish eat them things all day too, but looks like a little fiddler crab. So you pull it right up to their face and then they see it and you kind of twitch it away from them.
Yeah, right.
And they just annihilate the thing. And then sheep head are fun. And sheep head are great eating too. I will definitely keep really sheep head and some black drum. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm a Waterloo diehard. So if
there you go.
Waterloo's listening. I just sold a bunch of rods for you
down there in the area.
No, I'm just messing around, dude.
Come on.
I love me some Waterloo, man.
Yeah, though. Jimmy's good people, man. He's been a big supporter of me for since I started, man. I mean, I've been friends with Jimmy. We have a mutual friend, and we've kind of hit it off too with between all of us and everything. And then I live where the shop is at.
So
I'm always stopping by there on the way home from fishing, talking stories and sharing stuff with Jimmy, and helping him promote his brand too, because that's a big part of it is, when 100%. You believe in a product and you promote it, that organic promotion beats anything.
For sure. Any kind of force marketing.
Because I was fishing with his rods way before I met him and way before I started getting hooked up,
the quality on those things, man. Yeah. I mean, I've never had a rod that I could really feel so much through.
That Salty Mag, the new one they came out with, is kind of in between a HP Light and a Slam Mag, kind of.
Okay. Yeah.
There. Yeah. Yeah. I still have the seven. I've had one when the blanks first started thinking about those blanks. I have one of those and I'm still fishing with it. I probably had that one a year and a half. And that's the one I throw my soft plastics on when I'm sight casting redfish and stuff. And
that's cool, man.
And I put that rod up around the bow and underneath the kayak and around the back and like everything, dude. Like I straight wrecked that rod and I haven't broke it yet.
So, the only time I've ever broke one, I slammed it in the car door. But man, those things
slammed it or a high stick of fish, and that's my own fault. But Ultra Mag for top water, that's my go to, a 6.9 with a little shorter butt end. And then HP Slam Mag, I usually throw my corkies on those. Mm-hmm. And then I got a couple other blanks for those that don't know. Jimmy does make some awesome bass rods. So all my arsenal for my bass setups are all Waterloo's like a Mag 3 and Mag 3.5 and Mag 4. He's got some heavy crankers. He's got the bait runner as a crankback rod.
Does he make those specially for you?
No, they're available. They're just not on the website. He has some in the store every now and then, but anybody reach out, he does make some really good bass rods too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. He's got some blanks from the Judge blank from Batson. It's really good for just got a kind of like a glass blend. Works real well for chatterbaits and crankbaits and all that good stuff too.
Very nice.
He makes a bunch of good stuff in there. That store's definitely taken off. I don't know if anybody's been in there in a while, but Mike Vasquez took over as the manager of the store for the tackle side of things, kind of free Colby up in there and doing really well, keeping everything stocked and all up to date and everything. Lots of baits, lots of stuff from Texas Custom Lures. I'm a big believer in those double Ds. I throw them all the time, even for bass. Yeah. Hello. They work. along with
every time I'm down there, I gotta swing by that stuff.
Custom corkies and all that good stuff. Yeah, you can't beat any of that stuff, man. It's just so cool to have that stuff so close to me and be available. Everybody check them out, waterloorods.com. They ship it out. They ship stuff out every day. Get ready. Take some of it. All right, then we got we're gonna keep rolling here. We had to pick three. Now we got a quick five. This is just answer it, and we're just going to move on.
All right.
This is it. All right. Quick five. Here we go. Redfish or trout?
Redfish.
Hot dog or burgers?
Burgers.
Artificial or live bait?
Artificial.
Yeah. Astros or the Rays?
The Astros.
That's dang. There we go. Motors or pedals?
Pedals.
Right. I kind of thought I was going to stump you on the Tampa Bay
on the Stros one.
Yeah, man.
I tell you what. So the golf club I was working at in Houston when I was working as a golf pro over there, Jim Crane was one of the members, and man, he did a lot for us as the lowly little golf pros that work there. He gave us World Series tickets. Just was always really good to us.
That's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool, man. Cool, yeah,
especially when they played the Braves.
Yep. Yeah. That was and then the Yankees series. We were there for that too.
Man, good that's stuff. Pretty cool right there. It's funny sometimes the little connections you make in the stuff you do, your jobs or through fishing or stuff. I mean, there's people I've met through fishing. I'm like, holy crap, I never thought I would have been talking to them.
Oh, no, I know. 100%. Like, dude, this
I'm in
is,
a kayak I, and I'm I, doing this.
Yeah. I never thought I'd be on a podcast, honestly. Oh, well, I've never been on one. This is the first
one.
Oh,
this is awesome, dude. Yeah, man. I've been keeping up with you a little bit. You know, we got that niche, the kayak fishing, the saltwater side, and all that good stuff. And it's just like you kept popping up, and I was like, oh man, I'm gonna go ahead and follow this guy. Let me check this guy out. Let me check this out. Yeah. Oh man, he's got some good stuff.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, we'll definitely have to link up when you get back over this way.
100%.
We'll definitely try to make something work with that.
Do some fishing down.
Yeah. Shoot. Oh, somebody ringing my doorbell. Hello. Got the dogs barking. Everything going crazy back there. But yeah, man, appreciate you supporting Waterloo, dude. That's awesome.
Man, I am.
Do some work over there in Florida. I'll be Jimmy. You need to send this guy some rods, man.
Dude, come on. Please. Come on, Jimmy. I know you got a couple back there. I was actually about to order just a couple more because I broke two of them. So. I need a few more.
Yeah, they're a big supporter of all the tournaments around here and everything that goes on. You know, they're really always on top of things. Speedy Stop and then Waterloo with the kids fish tournaments there in Port O'Connor and all that every mm-hmm. year. And you know, they're a big supporter of the community and everything. That's what I appreciate. You know that.
Awesome.
And
yeah.
they're great people, man. Great people.
Yeah. You know. Every time I go in there, man, I have a good conversation with somebody.
Oh, yeah, and he's got all the kids. You know, he helps some of the young bucks in there working. They're all good, too. They're all good kids, you know.
Yep. So
definitely gives back to the community. Well, yeah, Waterloo, go check them out. Yes, sir. Good stuff. Let's see what else we got going on. That's about it. I think we're about to wrap this thing up.
Yeah, man. I got to go make some dinner.
I know, right? But, yeah, everybody go – thank y'all for watching the show. You know, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing without y'all support, without everybody watching, listening, however you do that, YouTube, Facebook, or listening to any podcast platform out there. We're distributed through the Megaphone and on Waypoint TV. Go to the Waypoint app and check us out there too. Also, if you want to follow along with Zach, he's on IG. Only Dinks. The O is a zero, not the letter O. Just remember that. I wish I had a way to put a slash through it because it'd be a circle slash. Only Dinks on IG. Zach Steele in the house right there. Some great content from here. He's down in Florida, so you'll see some different stuff coming from him transitioning down there. Hopefully, we'll see him throw some big snook up on there here pretty quick.
That's my next thing. I need a 40-incher.
Oh, man, that would be insane. But I think he's got some plans to come back to Texas. So then, you know, we're going to try to link up with that. Maybe we'll have some big trout to post up there for you when that happens. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Y'all don't forget to check out, keep track of the Pal and Finn page and then my page. There will be an event page up for the Three Bells, Redfish, Greenfish, Smackdown. That will be October, last weekend in October, 22nd, 23rd. Let me check real quick. I'm not wanting to stop doing what I'm doing. Yeah, be the next to the last weekend. Be 22nd, 23rd, Saturday, Sunday, Redfish event on Saturday, CPR. And then 23rd will be an in-person event on Lake Bastrop, North Shore Park. We should have fun with that. But, yeah. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Stick around real quick after outro, Zach. I'll get with you before we wrap things up. But we're going to wrap this up right here, and we'll catch y'all next time on Chasing the Tide.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional, for all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination. Go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.